really what this learning nation is about. It's about a mentality, but it's about a reality. So hopefully the call to action, everybody says, hey, what can be my part in contributing to that learning nation?
Hello, and welcome to our podcast series on future skills. I'm your host, Jamie Nordstrand. On today's podcast, we'll pick up where we left off with Rachel Warnick, a Future Skills Council member and the Senior Assistant Deputy Minister of the Skills and Employment Branch at Employment and Social Development Canada, and Pedro Barata, the Executive Director of the Future Skills Centre. The Future Skills Council's report was launched in November 2020. Rachel now explains how the report came to be and identifies the key priorities and the concrete areas for action.
I think it is important to underscore the extensive consultation that was behind the report. The council is representative of the private, the public, and the not-for-profit sectors, all geographic regions. And so what they were tasked to do in the very early days is to undertake a consultation and engagement on some of the key priorities, issues, challenges. And this represented hundreds of Canadians and over 150 organizations that were consulted. This looked at both domestic and international practices and expertise. So the report is not the personal opinions of the 15 people, though I'm sure they're factored in. It really represents the sectors that they come from and a very robust engagement to inform the work that the council did and deliberated on, whether it's from the perspective of the different regions and parts of Canada. We had Indigenous representatives from Métis Nation, First Nation, and Inuit. We really had a diverse representation, like I said, also practitioners, academics, and the consultations. I think it really does matter because the purpose of this council was to tap into as broad a perspective and as many lived experiences of Canadians as we could, so that that would be reflected in its recommendations. So priority one is helping Canadians make informed choices. So we hear this, and I've heard this for many years, job seekers, workers, employers, everybody is hungry for easy to use, easy to access information and tools. They want to know, you know, where the jobs are, what kind of skills are needed for those jobs, what is the quality training that they could take to acquire those skills. And so this priority really taps into that hunger for information and the ability to make informed choices. Priority two is about equality of opportunity for lifelong learning. So I think the pandemic has really shone a light on some of the structural and systemic barriers that many people face. And so the report again has put a big priority on ensuring that those barriers are removed and ensuring access for all Canadians in training and skills development. Priority three is dedicated to Indigenous self-determination. It's skills development to support Indigenous self-determination. And we've learned that First Nations, Inuit, and Métis peoples are the best place to design and deliver strategies that are most adapted to their communities. And so this priority looks at how we can apply that understanding to training and skills in Canada. Priority four is new and innovative approaches to skills development and validation. So we've talked about that and how rapidly changing job demands are. Well, we need skills assessment and skills development approaches that keep up with that change and provide new and flexible ways to meet both workers' and employers' needs. And finally, priority five is skills development for sustainable futures. And this kind of comes back to what I said a little bit earlier about not only thinking about the here and now and the skills that we might need for the jobs of today, but how do we create that sustainable future, and how do we support that approach, whether it's to have the skills required for a clean zero emissions economy, or other areas that we know this change is part of what we need to do to have a sustainable economy and society. So that's the five priorities.
I really liked how you've laid that out, Rachel, in terms of the highlights of the report, and how the council has not tried to oversimplify what is really a complex issue and pretended that somehow there are these silver bullets. It's very intellectually honest. I also, to an earlier point that you made, Rachel, I really like that the report, and especially the process, has not tried to leapfrog the current ecosystem and surrounded itself with science fiction thinkers and writers that are detached from the reality of our ecosystem. And in fact, you know, the people who are at the table are the educators, the employers, the labor leaders, the community practitioners that are both driving the system now, but also understand that change needs to happen. And how that report is pointing to how current players need to be the drivers of change for tomorrow, I think shows that it's grounded in a realistic and very sound theory of change. And as you've noted, sometimes when we move really fast and when we're thinking about the future, some things get compromised. And this report certainly does not compromise the importance of equality of opportunity, of Indigenous self-determination, and the systemic barriers that are put in place. Most of all, I'm quite impressed by the process for modeling consensus across different stakeholders. This is not easy to achieve, but this is what's going to move us forward, right? When you get different voices, different perspectives, to force ourselves to think about the win-win-win, and to match that with a call to action that lays out a pretty comprehensive agenda for the recovery. So kudos to the council for all of the work and for getting this roadmap.
So if Canada is to become a learning nation, what are the next steps?
We all, whether we know we're doing it or not, are constantly learning new things and adapting. The question is, do we want to make that easier on ourselves? Do we want to equip ourselves better? Do we want to have supports and information? Do we want to break down the barriers that make it harder for us to engage in that learning, whether it's, the systemic barriers or the cost of childcare? I mean, whatever it is, this report is saying, look, lifelong learning and having to adapt and it's here, it's now, and it's going to continue. So where can we prioritize our efforts to support workers, to support employers, to support governments, to support the voluntary sector? Basically, how do we help everybody navigate this kind of constant learning and requirement to adapt? And so I think that's really what this learning nation is about. It's about a mentality, but it's about a reality. And so hopefully the call to action, everybody says, hey, what can be my part in contributing to that learning nation?
I think Canadians are increasingly likely to face change during their professional careers. So their career path is not going to be about being really good at what you already know, but increasingly about this desire for lifelong learning that Rachel talked about. And to get that right, really encourage anybody to think about the balance of skills between technological, cognitive, and social and emotional skills. We're going to need all three. And often it is that last part, it is the social and emotional skills that's a little bit harder to grasp. Our partners at the Conference Board of Canada have developed some great tools. They've brought in the best understanding and some assessment tools that have been used internationally that can really help people better understand that side of the equation, and also better understand where they sit and what some of the strengths and gaps might be. And I would encourage anybody who's thinking about this in their own career path to visit the Conference Board of Canada's website and make use of those tools. We would also encourage Canadians who are interested in skills development and especially those who are working in the field of skills development and trying to figure out how is it that you keep up with your practice to work with us by joining Future Skills Center's community of practice that's powered by Magnet. And that's really creating a platform for bringing together those of us who are going to be imagining and implementing the future, to learn from each other, to not reinvent the wheel, and to avail ourselves of the best evidence and the best examples of what works, and hopefully continue to build an effective practice that can help Canadians.
A lot of things need to come together to really support Canadians in increasing their skills, to support employers in offering skills development opportunities, to support community organizations in the work they do. We need to figure out how to kind of mainstream some of these approaches and bring to bear policies and supports that break down those systemic and structural barriers that still keep people away from improving those skills. We need to look at very different ways of approaching skills development. I think that's because we haven't truly moved to a skills competency-based models, to models that look at that first rather than what degree, certificate, or even the way we describe work on a CV. We talk about it in terms of activities we did, not competencies.
Well, I mean, just connecting the dots here and what we're hearing from employers, where on the one hand, we're hearing from employers that skills and reskill, constant reskilling, upskilling is going to be absolutely crucial, not just in terms of the recovery, but in terms of the ongoing success of any business. So on the one hand, we're hearing that from the vast majority of employers. On the other hand, we're also seeing that, given current business models, investment in on-the-job skills training is not necessarily going to be a priority for employers. So that's a challenge, but it's also an opportunity, because we have an opportunity here for that collaboration thing that Rachel was talking about earlier. We have an extensive ecosystem of skills development and training across the country that right now can be leveraged to be much more demand driven and to work much more closely with employers and with sectors to figure out how we help to co-create answers for the skills challenge, both for the recovery and for the future, and to not leave solutions up to any one sector, but to really find that common ground and find how it is that we can work together. I think that's at the nexus of how we build the next playbook, is to, for each of us from our own place, to really put Canadians, Canadian workers, and Canadian businesses at the center, and really make skills the connector that can help us move forward.
Let's Talk Future Skills is a production of Employment and Social Development Canada. All opinions expressed in this podcast are that of the individual and not necessarily that of their employer or ESDC. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and click the notification tab so you know when the next one is released. Thank you for listening to Let's Talk Future Skills.